Let the church say amen once again. God is good. God is wonderful. God is always ready, willing, and able. Are you? This morning, before I get into anything further, let me just call out this list that I was just given these names. Sister Emma Brown is in Stroger Hospital. So if you have an opportunity, you might want to give her a call. Sister and Brother Lewis are still not doing so well, so give them a call. And Sister Sharon Williams is asking that we continue to pray for her as well. And there are many other names in the bulletin. If you might take a moment to read the bulletin, you'll find other names where I can tell you that Sister Marjorie Smith has left the hospital. She is at home now, so you might want to give her a call as well. And there are many other names that you might want to call. So let us take a look at the bulletin and remember those who are sick and shut in. It's good to see everybody this morning, because it's good to see anybody this morning, because God has left us here to see one another. God is good to us. So with that, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, it is once again that your grace has served us mightily, O Lord, and has allowed us to get up this morning. Your mercy was working on us, and your love is still working on us to be able to be here today. We thank you and we pray for those who are sick, in particular those who are listed in our bulletin this morning, and also those whose names I called out a few minutes ago, in addition to any others that we are not aware of or that we just failed to recall their names at the time, O Lord, for we know that you already know who they are. As we come praying this morning, Father, on this bright and sunny day, we pray that you would be with these services this morning as we move into the next portion. We pray for the leaders of this congregation as well as their families. We pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and for their families. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on as well. We thank you now, Heavenly Father, because you have blessed us and you didn't have to, but thank God that you did. Thank you, Father, for so much and so many things. Thanking you, Father, for the ones who are raising their children. We pray for them, O Lord, for we know their task is not an easy one. We pray for the teachers and the leaders and preachers all over the world, especially those who are serving the Lord with the banner held high. We thank you for the churches of Christ everywhere, in particular those who are upholding that bloodstained banner. We thank you, Father, for those who have made it out here this morning, and we pray that if there are any that might still be on their way, Father, that you give them guidance that they may make it here safely and be here and be secure. Thanking you, Father, for those traveling this morning, that they may have safety on their journeys and that they may soon return to us. Thank you, Father, for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray for strength to go on for them, O Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Father, for your Son who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have an opportunity to spread the good news, O Lord. Thanking you right now, Father, for all of these and many other blessings. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. From the book of Proverbs this morning, the verse was read for your hearing from verse number 25, and the verse is also number 25. The Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. That's what we want to talk about this morning, good news from a far country. It is a sad, disturbing, but also true fact that we have entered into a new year with the same bad news day in, day out, week after week. Bad news comes in the form of crime against each other and natural disasters, of which there is nothing we can do about those. But we can at least try to prevent people committing crimes against one another. We can at least make an attempt to control it. On the other hand, good news is not published as openly as the bad news. But Christians should be very familiar with the good news and therefore should be willing to share not only with other Christians but to non-believers as well. If God gave you your heart's desires, tell others how blessed you are. If he didn't give you your heart's desire, let somebody know he still supplied your needs for you. If he didn't give you everything that you wanted, Let somebody know that he gave you what you needed. If he didn't give you what you wanted, let somebody to know that God is still in the blessing business. He is still in the good news business. Let everyone know that God is good all day, every day, and all the time. So when you go back to that text and you look at it, and it says that as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. So from a far country, let us think about the good news that we have among us today. Number one, God is still in charge. Let your voices be made known that we don't have to see God to know God. We don't have to see God to let others know that God is alive and God is well and that we believe in God. See, our faith this morning, our faith is not based upon sight, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verses number 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But you must believe this yourself in order to have others believe it. You must believe it yourself. If I told you, I really believe in God, even though I can't see him. But then every time you turn around, you hear me saying something like, I just can't see how God can do this or how God can do that. Well, you don't sound like you believe in God. So don't sound like your faith is based on it, that your faith is based on, your belief is based on faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, it answers the question. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are you saying, preacher? Simply saying this. You don't have to see faith to have faith. You don't have to see God to know that God exists. Just look around you each and every day of your life and you'll see God's handiwork. Look around you and look at your own self. How that God raised you up this morning from your sleeping and your slumbering. How that he didn't have to, but he allowed your eyelids to pop up and pop open. How he allowed you to raise your leg and get out of bed. And how that then he gave you food for your stomach to soothe your empty stomach. How that God is good all of the time and not just sometimes. That's the assurance we must have. We must believe what the Bible tells us. We must believe what it says in our text today, as of cold waters is to a thirsty man, so is the good news from a far country. If you've ever been thirsty on a hot day, and no doubt you've been thirsty on a hot day before, if you've ever been thirsty on a hot day, all you really wanted was a glass of cold water. Then you can understand this description of how great this good news coming from this far country is. This world sometimes seems that nothing can come out of it but bad news. But there is some good news and it comes from a far country. Now that does not mean that God is no longer in charge because we have all of this bad news. It does not mean that God has shut his eye to what's going on in the world. God is in that far country, which is the kingdom of heaven, and he's watching everything that goes on from heaven. I know sometimes we feel disappointments. We feel discouragement. And we feel defeated. Some of us feel as only the wicked seems to prosper. But the psalmist spoke of this in Psalms chapter 73. And if you have time when you get home, look in Psalms chapter 73 and start reading from about verse number 1 and go all the way through at least about verse number 18. For he said, the wicked seemed were the only ones getting ahead. He became envious. And then in verse 5 he said, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. But in verse number 9 he said, they have even set their miles against heaven. But he discovered something around about verse number 17. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. And verse 18 concludes, thou cast them down into destruction. Church, God is still in charge, no matter how bad it may seem. God is still in charge of what's going on. When we go to the doctor sometimes, because we're sick or something is hurting us, we go to the doctor. We ask for healing through prayer. We ask God to grant us healing through that doctor. We don't pray to men. We pray to God for the healing. And God will allow those men and women who have studied and went through all of this educational process that they may heal us. All you really want when you're hurting is healing. But you got to go to God. You got to go to the source. Yes, God is from a far country. He is sitting high and He's still looking low at us, church. He is sitting there waiting for all, watching all of us. And we need to understand that there is good news still today. Jesus is still alive, and you ought to tell somebody this is the other good news. We ought to let others know our Savior is sitting on His throne beside His Father. Let them know that we serve a God who is love and who gave us His love, and His love can be seen as He presented His Son to the cross of death. Because of love, Christ died for us. But through His death, something even better happened through the death of Christ. His resurrection came about. Because He was crucified on yonder's cross, His resurrection came by. Many have claimed to be God-like people, but none of them have died, been buried, and rose again on the third day, and still live. Nobody that is except Jesus Christ. And for proof of that, go to Matthew chapter 28, around about verse number 5 and verse number 6, and let the Word of God prove that Jesus is still alive today. The angel began to speak to the women who had came to see Jesus at His tomb. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "Fear not, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified." So we have proof that He was crucified because the angel backed that up. Look at verse number 6. "He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Now, if you need proof that He died and that He was raised, it's right there in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5 and verse number 6. No doubt, these women may have been somewhat puzzled themselves. So in verse number 7, the angel said, "Go quickly and tell the disciples He is risen from the dead." Church, part of our services to the Lord is to let others know that the same Jesus whom they crucified did not stay crucified. He got up. He left the grave, went where He is right now. He has passed into heaven according to Hebrews chapter 4, starting around verse number 14. And when we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Thank God. Thank God Jesus is still alive. So sometimes I ask the question of the Lord myself. I ask the question to God, "Lord, why did You go back to heaven? You suffered and died to save me. And I read the account of Your promises in John chapter 14, where You said You were going to prepare a place for me, that how that we would You would receive us unto Yourself. That's where You are, that where You are, we may also be." Thank the Lord that You are still Jesus and You are still alive. You ought to tell somebody that, church. You ought to be happy to let somebody know that God is still alive. Jesus is still alive. He didn't stay in the grave. Somebody may think, well, it's impossible for God to have been killed on the cross and got up and came out of the tomb. But do you remember what I told you just a week or so ago? With God, all things are possible. Nothing with God is impossible. So you ought to tell somebody that there is good news from a far country. Jesus is still coming again. You ought to tell somebody. Jesus is still coming again. The Bible proved that Jesus died and came back from the dead. But now in the book of Acts, around chapter 1, starting at about verse number 9, we again have proof of His going up to heaven. Starting at verse number 9, the Bible tells us that after Jesus had finished speaking to those who were present, they began to witness Him being taken up on a cloud. And around in verse number 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two men stood by, and these two men asked the question. He said, "Men of Galilee, why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall come in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying just as Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose again and went on a cloud and went back to heaven, he's going to come again one day. You need to make up your mind to understand that God is the same God that offers us hope. God is the same Jesus that offers us life everlasting if we obey his will and do his work and do what we are supposed to do. Jesus is still coming again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, around about verse number 16, you know the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." How is he coming? Well, we can just go a little bit further over into Revelation, and we can see that he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. In Isaiah chapter 52, it tells us that all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. You don't need to see him right now. You just need to prepare to see him eventually. You need to make sure that you are ready, that when he does show up, that you will be ready. So then when you look at it again, church, it says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Today, if you don't know about the good news from a far country, you need to get to know it. You need to know how that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Didn't he, Brother Jackson? He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. Somebody needs to understand that it was not all in vain. It shouldn't be in vain that God died for our sins. We need to live a righteous life. I heard the discussion this morning talking about good people. But being good and being righteous are two different things, isn't it, church? Being good and being righteous, there is a difference. Being good means that you're all right kind of person, but being righteous means that you're all right with God. See, you can be good to me, but are you righteous with God? If you're not righteous with God, your being good to me don't mean anything. In the big picture, at least, anyway. You see, when he came here, he died on yonder's cross according to the Scriptures. And as he was buried, and that he rose again, as I said, on that third day. We can look at it from a little different perspective. We can look at his first coming, that he came as a baby, suffered and died. His first coming, he was in the hands of men. But his second coming, the souls of men will be in his judgment, because every knee shall bow to him. I tell you, church, it's good to know God. And if you don't know him, you ought to get to know him. If you haven't heard it by now, you need to understand how that you're living right now. You're living right now can bring eternal life in your future. Or how that riotous living now can bring you eternal damnation. The good news from a far country is not new, but it might be new to some of you or somebody that you know. But the same good news has been around for over 2,000 years, and I really can't say how much longer it's going to be here. But one thing I do know, that at some point, it's going to be all over. At some point, we need to make sure that our righteous living is given to God in the proper manner. It behooves all of us to be prepared at all times, for it could be brought to an end at any time in our lives. Oh, you need to know that Jesus is definitely coming back. You need to understand that the good news from a far country, like that cold drink of water for our thirsty souls, it tells of one who can bring peace to a ravaged world. How of one who is a better place prepared than this earth. Who has believed and One who we who are believers realize that we are on going to see the King one day. We are on our way to see the King. And when I look at that text and I think about that text and I say to myself, how can the gospel be like cold water to a thirsty soul? Well, I think I kind of figured it out. Cold water quenches your bodily thirst. The good news quenches your soul's thirst. Isn't that right, church? You ought to say that's right because you know that's right. You ought to say, you ought to be willing to say, I stand up and I'll be counted for the Lord. You ought to be able to tell somebody, I know the Lord is my Savior and my heart's desire to get to heaven. My heart's desire is that one day I'll leave this old troubled world behind. And I know there are some things in some of our lives sometimes that make it seem as though I might rather be gone now than later because things are just so disappointing and just so full of heartaches and troubles. And every time I look around, I'm hearing about another bad thing going on in my lifetime or in my life with things going on around me. Every time you look around, some young person is shooting one another. Every time you look around, somebody does not believe in the Lord anymore. Every time you turn around, somebody has decided, I'm going to do something evil and I'm going to take somebody's life or I'm going to harm somebody. But then when I think about that cold water for my thirsty soul, I think about how good the Word of God is. I think to myself, I say to myself, God is good all the time. And sometimes I wonder if the people of this world can understand that how good, really good God is. First, you got to look at the evidence as is presented in the Bible to us. How that Jesus walked this earth and how that somebody said he's not who we say he is. How that somebody said we'd rather release a criminal than to release the Savior of all mankind. How that somebody said we ought to put him on the cross and crucify him. How that somebody said if you be the King, come down from your cross now. How that somebody said, well, if you be Jesus, how come you can't save yourself? I tell you something, church. How on that fateful day when the Lord stretched out his arms and they began to put nails through his hands and through his wrists. How that when they went to give him a drink of old wine and he didn't drink it. How that he was about to meet his Father. How that he was about to meet his death on from the cross. How that one day he was going to go back to be with his Father. How that one day we would all be safe because of his death on yonder's cross. And I tell you, the good news is like thirsty, it's like cold water for a thirsty soul. How that the good news is coming from a far country, and that far country once again is heaven. How that you ought to hear that good news, and how that you ought to share that good news with somebody. And when I think about it, church, I look at the matter of the shape that the world is in. And do I have a... Yes, I got a minute or two. How that I look around and I see the shape that the world is in today. And you know what? I say to myself, the only one that can save us now is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because it's out of our hands. Sometimes it seems as though it's too much for us to handle. And sometimes it just gets us discouraged and makes us feel as though disappointments are all that this life has to offer us. But I tell you, there is better news than disappointment, sorrows, and pain, and heartaches. There is better news. And when I think about it a little bit further, I remember back to that same cross. I remember how that they made Jesus carry his own cross as he went to Golgotha's hill. I remember how that when they put him up there, they placed him between two ordinary criminals. The Lord and Savior of this world was placed between two ordinary criminals. But yet, he didn't say anything.
He didn't say a mumbling word until he uttered those seven phrases to his Father, which are in heaven. And when he said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I tell you, church, it's nothing like what we're doing today, because many of us are forsaking him just the same. God didn't really turn his back on him, but we do. Many of us have turned our backs on him. We're forgetting about the good news that he brought to us some 2,000 plus years ago. And if I could but just live just long enough, and I know I'll live just long as God wants me to live, but if I can just live long enough to bring the message to somebody that we need to share the good news from a far country, then I'll feel that I've done all right. I may not have done good, but I feel that I've done all right. What about yourself? Are you trying to bring the good news to somebody? You know, for many of us, think that the only somebody that's supposed to bring the good news is the preacher who stands up here. But that's not true. The good news can come from your lips as well as from my lips. The good news can come from your heart as it can from my heart. The good news is for all of us to spread, that others may know Jesus Christ. And there are those who say, "Well, when I get a little bit older, I'm going to start doing just that." But you don't have a guarantee that you're going to get older. The good news is here right now, and you need to tell somebody right now. You need to let them to know that Jesus is alive, and that how that he died and was buried and rose again on the third day. How that he did this for us. How that he didn't have anything to die for except for us, because he had to fulfill the scriptures. So the good news from a far country is still alive and well today. And how do I go about it, preacher? How do I get to be a part of the good news? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And I know it's cold outside, and somebody say, "Well, I might not want to get in the water because I might catch a cold." You don't catch a cold from getting in cold water. But the water is not even cold. Brother Jackson will attest to that. Water is nice and warm. Ready? Okay, it's ready too. And he is ready. So you won't catch a cold if you decide you want to be baptized today. Or you shouldn't catch a cold. I'm not going to guarantee you that you won't, but it won't be from the water. It'll be because maybe you're not dressed well enough. So if you want to become a member of the Lord's body, those are the steps you must take. If you're already a member of the Lord's body, but somewhere you went astray, and I say the same thing pretty much every week, you went astray. And don't think that we don't go astray. We may not admit it, but we do go astray. From here all the way back to the back door, we can go astray. And the bad part about going astray is that you won't try to straighten yourself up. It's not so bad that you went astray, but that you didn't try to straighten yourself back up. See, it's like running a race and you're going around the oval track. If you fall and don't get up, guess what? People run over you. But I tell you, if you want to do that, you go to God, you ask God in your prayer to give you strength and forgiveness for whatever it is that kept you away from Him. And then walk forward, ask the church to pray, help you to pray that you may gather your strength and that you may gather the will to do His will back again. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 252. I am a poor.